Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Jerry Campbell. Jerry is the account manager for e-commerce services at the Nebraska Book Company. Now, the name Nebraska Book Company might make you think this is just a local concern, but Nebraska Book Company runs over 350 bookstores, and I believe mostly college bookstores, but I'm not sure, around the country. Jerry was a student of mine, and we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique has impacted his life. Jerry, welcome so much to the show today.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's a privilege to be here with you, really.
Well, Jerry, what do you say to people who want to know what this Alexander Technique thing is that you've studied is all about?
Well, everyone always says it's notoriously hard to define, but I guess in short for me, Robert, what I would say is it's an educational process, really, by which we or you learn to become aware of how we habitually use and misuse ourselves. And I guess what I mean by that is our musculoskeletal selves, our muscles and our bodies, how we misuse that and how we can run into these a lot of tension in our bodies from these crazy habits that we've developed over time. And then, it teaches us how to become aware of those things. And then after we really become aware of them, it gives us some tools for how to go about really stopping the misuse and stopping putting so much tension and stress on ourselves.
Well, that's an excellent definition, Jerry. I've a lot better than I've heard from some Alexander teachers. Seriously. So, yeah. Jerry, how did you arrive at the Alexander Technique? What were the reasons that mm-hmm. caused you to give me a call?
Well, I've been selling books for a lot of years, Robert, and I remember selling a book that came out many years ago on the Alexander Technique, and I'm always intrigued by titles, but I didn't really know what it was. And what really drove me to it most recently was that I had gone to a massage therapist, and actually my neighbor is a massage therapist, and she had told me that I had a lot of tension in my neck, and I do a lot of exercising, and I've noticed that over time. And anyway, I got into looking it up on the internet, and found out that that the neck is and movement AT is really, or the Alexander Technique is really all about how we move and the principal importance of the neck and the head in the relationship of moving with more ease and grace. So. It was kind of a natural, and in addition to the fact that I learned that I had this tension in my neck, or it was pointed out to me anyway, I also had a lot of pain in my lower back because I have a herniated disc in my my L5 and S1, which is my lower lumbar disc. Mm-hmm. So I've had struggled over time with pain in my lower back, and when I came to read about what the Alexander Technique was exactly, it made a whole lot of sense. So I found out who you were by the internet, and was very happy to learn that you are quite a learned teacher of the technique, and you were right here in Lincoln. That really, really made me curious. So I called you up.
Well, I'm glad you did. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting for our listeners to just pause here for a moment regarding your experience of being told by, in your case, a massage therapist, that your neck was tight. And the fact is that a lot of people with tensions in their body are not actually aware of them until someone else points them out. I assume you knew you had some back issues because you felt the pain.
Yes.
But I'm going to guess that you didn't feel any pain in your neck.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way, Robert. You know, I do some weightlifting and stuff, and I always noticed how my neck would hurt sometimes after I lifted weights. But yeah, I wasn't consciously aware that I carried it around. She made me aware that it was very more tense in my neck than other places.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a background tension there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's I think a very interesting thing for our listeners to think about. So, having come for lessons, what happened after you had lessons?
Well, I began to learn how a lot of times we move our bodies without really thinking about how we move. In other words, we just get up out of a chair and we get out over our feet when we're really not balanced, or we just get up when we don't really kind of prepare ourselves to move. We just kind of are way ahead of ourselves the way we think, so it struck me by the first couple of lessons with you that that was something that I at least commonly was doing, and that if I wanted to maybe understand how to move a little bit with more ease and more grace, I ought to at least be thinking a little bit more about some of the ways that I go about my day, really, or how I move. Yeah.
And when you started doing that, did you notice any changes in how you moved and in your general posture and coordination?
I definitely did. And but I do have to admit that it's taken a long time. It takes a long time because I really think that I've made a lot of progress since I started with you. Mm-hmm. But because our habits are so ingrained, it's so easy to slide back and to move unconsciously is what I mean to say. Okay, because I really think that AT is all about. Well, I actually read someone say, refer to the Alexander technique as thinking in activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way, it's when you move, it's just a way to think while you move and to be more present or to be more conscious about what you do, at every moment. So, that's part of what I think about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that whole process of thinking in activity can be a real challenge for people if they're not used to doing that. It's quite kind of a different way of engaging in activities.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah, and so so I'm just more mindful, I guess, and because I exercise a lot, I do move a lot, and I am thinking about movement quite a bit. I think I told you one time that one of my big passions, and when I was younger, was playing basketball, and I was always struck by how the movement was so, how much I enjoyed moving on the basketball court. And when we'd get done playing basketball, I would feel kind of stress free. It was like the most stress free times I would have, and I was always curious about that. So when I got to when I got into thinking about AT, it was or the Alexander technique, it was interesting that the role that movement has with just mind body, I guess, how your mind and your body are so much one. I think, what did FM call it? What was FM's word for that? For psychophysical unity.
Psychophysical unity. Yeah. FM being F. Matthias Alexander, who was the developer of this work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your work at the Nebraska Book Company, it sounds like you probably spend a fair amount of time at a computer terminal. Is that
I
right?
Do. Yes, I do. So,
and what do you notice about that? And have your lessons helped you with that any?
Oh, yeah, tremendous amount, yes, because Yeah, like you said, I sit a lot all day, and as we all know, sitting's not wonderful for your back. If you have any issues with your spine, I mean, it's I think it puts a lot of pressure on your lower back. So I have to do that all the time, and so yes, learning these ideas on how to think before I move and react has made that whole process of sitting at my desk and reaching my arm towards the mouse or reaching for a pencil or a pen. I'm much more mindful now about how my mind and my body are one physical unit, and how we need to move in coordination, and we have to do it in balance. And basically, we have to think before we move, you know. And doing that, Robert, has made me more balanced all the way around. It's affected my just general state of well-being, and specifically, you know, what we're on now, which is sitting at a desk and trying to alleviate the tension and the back pain of sitting all day. Yeah, it's made a big difference.
And I would be willing to bet that as you look around your office at other people who are working at computers, that you're probably more aware of their own misuse patterns than you might have been before.
Yeah, definitely am. One of the nice things that you did for me was recommend just a stool. I guess, yeah, what would you call it, a stool?
It's a stool that has a flat surface, and it's about 1.5 times the height of a normal chair. And actually, I can't claim credit for the idea. It came. I got the idea from a book by another Alexander Technique teacher, who I'm hoping to interview for the podcast. Also, a woman named Galen Krantz, who's a professor of architecture at the University of California, Berkeley, who wrote a wonderful book called The Chair. It's kind of a history of the chair, and it has a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit about, a little bit of it is devoted to some suggestions for sitting more easily. And she points out that when you elevate yourself that extra, half a foot or probably a little more than that, you create conditions whereby the natural curvature of your spine tends to spring up more than sitting in a standard chair. And so do you use a stool at work?
Oh yeah. You should see some of the or notice the comments I get from people
I
when
bet,
you know, they can't understand why in the world I would have that stool there. But you are absolutely right on, I believe, with how you describe that, because I would agree with you 100% in that you know, your eyes, and I have trifocals on my glasses, okay? So a lot of times, and your eyes are changing all the time, but the point I'm making here is a lot of times when I'm at close up, I have to look towards the bottom part of my glasses. And so by being up a little bit higher, I don't have to cock my head back. And down, you know, to be able to see the screen, which is what I really kind of have to do. So it's really, I agree with you that it puts my head and neck in a much better position relative to the rest of me when I'm on that stool. So I go back and forth. What I do is I go back and forth, you know.
Some people do that, and some of my students, you know, when I show them the stool and say, maybe this would be useful for you to experiment with, they're very, very skeptical because it's just a flat wooden surface, circular usually, and there's no backrest. And that's one of the first questions I get is, where's the backrest? But what I have found is that when you make that available to yourself and give yourself the option of that, keep the old chair, but have the stool available, many of my students over time, sometimes very quickly, gravitate to using the stool all the time. And sometimes I have to say, I think I should be getting some kind of commission from the local Target store because they have a really nice one, wooden stool for about $20, made with very solid wood. And I know that I have caused them to sell many dozens of stools over the years that they wouldn't. But anyway, Jerry, is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners about the technique or any suggestions you'd like to make to someone who's thinking of having an Alexander lesson but is a little hesitant, or what would you anything you'd like to add?
Just a couple things, I think, Robert. One of the things that really brought me to, or that I like so much about the technique, is that it's really like a living, breathing philosophy. I mean, it's much more than just a way to line up your posture or to get I mean, it's certainly that, but what I mean to say is that it's a practical philosophy. It's that you can use every day, all the time, and I think that it has some tremendous value for everybody. I read about John Dewey and how he was such an advocate of it, and what John Dewey just thought that it was had some remarkable educational value, and I kind of am beginning to see what he was suggesting there. But I think that it has broad implications or ramifications well beyond just posture. And then the other thing I would say is that stress, we're all under stress these days, and AT can really help you reduce the amount of stress you have in your body. One time at a book company convention, I heard a gal, I think her name was Maureen Mulvaney, if I can remember that correctly, but I do remember how she defined stress. She said that stress was, she defined it this way. She said it's our thoughts, perceptions, and interpretations of the people, places, and things in our life. And she said, if you change your perceptions, you change your life. And AT kind of is in line with that notion, because it's really all about how you think and how you perceive your circumstances, but more than that, it actually gives you some useful tools to change and to reduce the stress in your life. So anyway, I think that's about all I wanted to say.
Oh, that's great. And just for people in our audience who don't know who John Dewey was, he's been dead a number of years. He was America's most famous philosopher in the school of pragmatism. And he also was extremely influential in developing the American public education system in the first half of the last century. And he was also a longtime student of Alexander. And in fact, he wrote somewhere in one of his books that I don't have the quote exactly, but basically that the Alexander technique bears the same relationship to education that education bears to everything else. And I can't imagine a stronger endorsement of the technique than that.
I can't either. That's a remarkable quote, really.
It is. So, yeah. Jerry, thank you so much for being on the show. My guest today has been Jerry Campbell, who is the account manager for e-commerce services at the Nebraska Book Company, a very large company that runs 300 or 400. Do they own the stores, Jerry?
It owns
some 350 bookstores around the country. And he's a resident, like myself, of Lincoln, Nebraska, and he's been a student of mine. Jerry, thanks again so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure, Robert. Thank you very much.